Kollegen, ich freue mich, Sie zur Videokonferenz der COSAC-Vorsitzenden begrüßen zu dürfen. Es ist mir eine Ehre, Sie auch im Namen meines Co-Vorsitzenden Gunter Griechbaum in diesem doch immer noch ungewöhnlichen Format willkommen zu heißen. Wir beide freuen uns sehr, dass unsere heutige Sitzung auf breites Interesse stößt, dass Sie mit Ihrer regen Teilnahme bezeugen. Und noch mehr freuen wir uns, jede und jeden Einzelnen von Ihnen heute gesund, zumindest aus der Ferne, zu sehen. Liebe Kolleginnen und Kollegen, Europa und die Welt haben sich verändert, seit wir einander das letzte Mal die Hand geschüttelt haben. Der Ausbruch der Corona-Pandemie hat uns allen erhebliche Einschränkungen auferlegt. Unsere kroatischen Freunde waren hart getroffen. Mitten in ihrer ersten Ratspräsidentschaft forderten die äußeren Umstände ein komplettes Umplanen und Umdenken. Umso größer ist mein Dank heute für die erfolgreiche erste Jahreshälfte
der Presidency. So we are all the more grateful for your successful presidency in the first half of the year. We too were forced to change our plans and change the date and also the topics for today's conference. We would have liked to welcome you 2 months ago in person. And the President of the Federal Council, Minister President Dietmar Woidke, was looking forward to meeting you. Unfortunately, he has another commitment this morning, but he sends his warmest regards. He also sent a video message, which you are going to see now.
Sehr geehrte Teilnehmerinnen und Teilnehmer des COSAC-Vorsitzendentreffens, als Präsident des Bundesrates begrüße ich Sie herzlich zu Ihrer heutigen Sitzung. Für den Bundesrat ist es eine große Ehre, im Rahmen der deutschen EU-Ratspräsidentschaft heute zumindest virtuell Ihr Gastgeber zu sein.
Natürlich in the context of the German presidency of the Council of the European Union. Of course, I would have loved to welcome you in our plenary hall, but unfortunately the coronavirus pandemic makes that impossible.
Trotzdem durchführen und ich halte das für
auch. You can still come together today and exchange thoughts and ideas, and I think that is very important because now more than ever there is a number of topics that we all in Europe care about and that we can only address together. As Minister President of the East German Federal State of Brandenburg, I know what I'm talking about when I say only a unified Europe is a strong Europe. In a few months, my term as president of the Federal Council is going to end, but the highlight is still ahead of us. On the 3rd of October, we are going to celebrate the 30th anniversary of German reunification. For me, this remains Europe at its best. The principle, the European principle, unity and diversity, is important for us at the Federal Council as well. We are the second legislative organ in the Federal Republic of Germany. The other is the parliament. The Federal Council's composition and function is different from that of other second parliamentary chambers in Europe. If we look around us in the plenary hall, then you can see on the walls the coats of arms of all 16 federal states. And they are represented by members of their governments and form the Federal Council. So in this plenary hall, we don't have political or parliamentary groups. That means that the focus is on the interests of the federal states individually, but also collectively. In addition to contributing to national legislative procedures, the Federal Council focuses on European policy too. So we regularly comment on planned legislation of the European Union and can send representatives to the Council of the EU if needed. The Federal Council has close connections at European level and cooperates to a number of interparliamentary European bodies. That all shows that Europe really matters to the federal states. Allow me a personal remark. The ongoing coronavirus crisis is a huge challenge to all of us, and I am absolutely convinced that we can only overcome them if we take responsibility and act together, especially at European level. So let us not lose our courage, our optimism, and our confidence in our cooperation. Let us work together in line with the slogan of the German EU Council Presidency, Together for Europe's Recovery. I wish you much success for today's meeting and a very fruitful exchange to the benefit of our Europe in peace and unity. I can only agree to what our president said. It is a great pleasure to welcome you to the meeting of the chairpersons of COSAC, chaired by Germany. We are especially pleased that there are new colleagues with us today in our COSAC family. Mr. Domagoj Hajduković, congratulations to being elected chairman of the EU committee in the Croatian parliament. We are looking forward to further working with you in the coming month in the context of the Troika, but also beyond that as part of COSAC. And special thanks to our colleague Domagoj Milosevic, who was the chairman of the EU committee during the Croatian Council presidency, and he chaired this conference with great commitment. He was now confirmed deputy chairman. I would also like to welcome Dario Stefano, who is the new chairman of the EU committee in the Italian Senate. Congratulations to your election and much success for your new office. We hope we will have successful cooperation. At the same time, we also have to bid farewell today to someone who is going to leave the COSAC family after many years. The first female deputy speaker of the European Parliament, Mairead McGuinness, is going to become a commissioner for Ms. von der Leyen and will be in charge of EU financial market policy. Mairead has asked me to be able to take the floor, and of course we're looking forward to hearing from her.
Hear me and see me, because I'm not so sure that we are connected, but I hope I am. And Guido, thank you very much for giving me the floor in this very brief intervention. As you say, I have been nominated by the President of the Commission and I am now preparing for the hearing. So sadly, I can't stay with this meeting. I really do want to say how much I've learned and how much I've enjoyed the engagement with our national parliaments, particularly the chairs of the European Affairs Committee. And also to say that given the situation of COVID, there are two issues where national parliaments and the European Parliament will have to work really well together. The first is to make sure that parliaments work in a pandemic. And I think we are struggling, but we're learning how to do things differently. But clearly, parliaments are vital, and therefore our work as national parliamentarians and European parliaments together are really important. And the second issue is around the recovery fund, because clearly these will have to be ratified by national parliaments. Really, what I wanted to do today is to say thank you to everyone I've met and been engaged with in this journey with COSAC. I want to say to the German presidency, to you, Guido, and to Gunther, you are keeping keeping everything working despite the restrictions of the pandemic. And thank you for doing that. There is a lot resting on the shoulders of the German presidency, but we all know that you will deliver and you all have our support to do that. Finally, just to say a big thank you to your support staff who organised that we connect together, and indeed to my colleagues in the European Parliament who look after relationships with national parliaments, Katrin Pekka and Beatrice. And there are many others that I can't name, but they know I wish them absolutely well. And to say you will hear from my very good colleague, Dita Sharonzova, who will address this gathering. And I hope you have a good exchange. I have learned one important lesson in my time with you, is that we need to engage more and deeper. And we also must respect each other's positions in the overall architecture of the European Union. I bow to national parliaments because you are closer to your citizens, and therefore we have to listen and learn. So best wishes for this morning. I'm sad that I can't stay, but I look forward to the challenge of being around the Commission table, of course, depending on the hearing in committee, which will happen shortly. So thank you again and have a very good meeting.
Thank you very much, Mairead, for your kind words. And of course, thank you very much for years of work in the context of COSAC. Working with you was rewarding at all times, and your tireless commitment for Europe and your inspiring and open words were really have always been helpful. We wish you all the best and much success for your new tasks, and we're looking forward to keep up the good work with you as the new Commissioner for the Financial Markets. Colleagues, I hope we were able to set the mood last night with the concert of the Berlin Philharmonic Orchestra and with their conductor Kirill Petrenkos. The main theme of the fourth movement of Beethoven's Ninth Symphony, the instrumental version of Ode to Joy, was officially chosen as the European anthem in 1985. This piece of musical history symbolizes the values we all share. This piece of musical history is part of what we mean when we say freedom, peace, and solidarity. And it really embodies this European principle of unity and diversity, which, by the way, is also the motto of the Federal Council and the German Federal States. I believe that there is no more European piece of music, and these values have not lost any of their relevance or power today. So we were very happy that the Berlin Philharmonic Orchestra agreed to have this orchestra on the eve of today's COSAC meeting. It was a little social event, so to speak. So let me thank the Berlin Philharmonic Orchestra and their head conductor. It was beautiful to have this, and it was a truly European moment. We had planned to celebrate European history with an event on the eve of the summit. In the 30th year of reunification of Germany after the fall of the wall, which separated Europe and the world, we wanted to have a gala dinner with you at an historically relevant place at the Glienicker Brücke, Glienicker Bridge, the former border between East and West. It is very idyllic on the banks of the Havel River. We could not do that, but before the conference, you received a little present, this cup, It is a limited edition, so it is unique. On the one side, you can see the facade of the Federal Council in Berlin, and on the other side, you can see the Glienicke Bridge. For us, this bridge has become a symbol of reunification and peaceful revolution in Europe. It is important to us in this year of the 30th anniversary of the reunification of Germany. We want to remember the how we overcame division. We want to remember the contributions of our European neighbors to reconciliation. And we want to remember that to us Germans, it is a true gift to live in a peaceful Europe today. Should circumstances allow it in future, and we do hope so, that you can travel to Berlin, I can only invite you to travel to the periphery of Berlin too and look at this Glienicke Bridge, this unique ensemble with its really interesting and fascinating history. As I said, we had to adapt today's format, but we also had to adopt our agenda and the topics to external circumstances. You've received a draft agenda. If there's there are any requests to speak, please let us now know via the chat function, request the floor, and you will then receive the floor. The microphone is going to be turned on by the technicians, but you will have to turn on your cameras yourself. First of all, we are going to discuss procedural matters and give you an overview of planning for the main COSAC. At 10:30, the Federal Foreign Minister will join us and give us an overview of the German program for the EU Council Presidency. In the second session, after the break, we will talk with Franz Timmermans about the European response to the coronavirus pandemic. So, do you all agree with the agenda you've received? As I see it, there are no requests to speak, so the agenda has been adopted. Now, let me now please pass the floor to my colleague Gunter Kriechbaum.
Guido, vielen Dank.
Thank you very much, Guido. Thank you, colleagues. Welcome to Berlin. Guido Wolf has just given you some information, and as you can imagine, we would have really loved to welcome you in different circumstances. But as Merit McGuinness rightly said, parliaments need to work and they need to work together. And I hope that Merit is still listening, because
responsibility that you have now in the new framework of the European Commission as commissioner, and especially for really challenging and difficult political areas like financial services and finance in general. So congratulations first, and second, thank you very much for all what you did in COSAC and for the excellent cooperation that we have between the national parliaments and the European parliaments. You set really benchmarks, and unfortunately I couldn't see your picture, but we could hear your voice, and this voice was clear, strong, and so I think this will be continued in the European Commission, and we stay in touch. Ja, ich möchte fortfahren sozusagen in meiner
I would like to continue in my mother tongue. Guido Wolf already set the scene for what's happening. So we have rising case numbers in the pandemic, and the situation in the various member states is, of course, different. So we need to think about how we want to deal with this, not only today, but also
When we deal with the plenary of COSAC, we normally have about 350 participants, and that unfortunately won't be possible, but I'll give you some more information about this when we talk about organizational matters. Before that, I would like to enter into the point of procedural matters, and I would like to report on the results of the Troika meeting. Together with our colleagues, we agreed that we want to go back to the roots when it comes to the rules of COSAC. So the more senior colleagues among you will probably remember that it was very common only to have delegations from the member states receiving invitations to COSAC, and of course the members, the states with which we were entering into access negotiations. But in recent years, we've seen that it's all got bigger and bigger, and that hasn't made it easier to handle these conferences. It also showed when the time that was available for discussions was limited for members. So member states' contributions were shorter, and there was hardly any difference to a complete meeting. And so we agreed that in the Troika we had to get back to the roots and back into order. And this has meant that we've decided that we only want to invite other countries to participate if the matters they wish to discuss are on our agenda. So, of course, if we talk about things like the current situation in Ukraine, for instance, we would, of course, invite Ukraine to participate. But otherwise, and let me be clear on this, not. And for this reason, we acceded to the requests by Switzerland, Norway, Iceland, but only because of their position as EFTA and EEA countries, and only because we also want to discuss the economic impact of the pandemic, but we'll come back to that later. For the same reason, these new principles, we were not able to accept the request or accede to the request by Georgia. The United Kingdom is still on board for the simple reason that they are still contributing financially until the end of the year. By that time, they would have to join the club again because this is only for EU members. Finally, the Troika also outlined the agreed to the draft for the 34th report by COSAC. So you have the questionnaire. Please fill it in, and we would really be happy to receive your answers by the 25th of September. We are using video conferencing technology, and this is why there were some requests to intensify our contacts as far as possible. Of course, we can't meet physically, but especially at this time, it is important, as Merit rightly said, to continue our work in the parliaments and to network. For instance, whenever we deal with the Brexit negotiations, which are formally running, I really don't want to go into the substance at this point, but we need to be informed and keep ourselves informed. And this is why we'll have a video conference with Michel Barnier, who's leading the negotiations on the EU side. Unfortunately, I don't have the date ready, but it will be communicated to you, and it will be held shortly. There will also be a meeting with Commissioner Vestager, the Executive Vice President. This will happen in October, on the 1st of October. So we have two events that we want to use to engage more closely. Again, this is not a COSAC meeting, and it's also not a meeting of the chairpersons of COSAC, everybody can participate, with the exception, of course, of the United Kingdom, and I think that is self-explanatory. There are also more meetings in the pipeline. We also received some letters, so the chairperson received letters. As I said, we had these requests from the countries that I specified. That was it. I also need to keep myself to the point because soon we'll hear from the Federal Foreign Minister. So in the run-up of today's video conference, we have derogated from normal procedure. Instead of a complete draft of the agenda, we gave you some information on certain matters and on organizational specificities, and you received this email on Thursday so that you were able to inform yourself. I would like to give you a brief summary and distinguish between organizational matters or specificities and the subject matter, the issues that will be discussed. These will be the following. So we have succeeded in securing a contribution from Chancellor Merkel, who will take stock of the German presidency. She will be the first participant. Then we'll hear about the future of the European Union. We've asked Dr. Ursula von der Leyen, President of the European Commission. This is yet to be confirmed. And to be very clear, when the pandemic broke out in the world and in Europe, Europe certainly did not present itself in the best light. So we need to learn from this. We need to learn new lessons on cooperation in situations such as pandemics and in the field of health care. And we've asked the Federal Minister of Health in Germany, Mr. Spahn, and also Dr. Andrea Amon, a director of the European Center for Disease Prevention and Disease Control, which so far is not a very well-known European institution, but of course it could be developed similarly to what happened to Frontex, which was a small agency but is now a full-fledged agency. So why should this not be possible for the European Center for Disease Control and Prevention? Then the fourth aspect will be how to re-dynamize the EU economy. And again, we need to really address this issue. We want to have breakout sessions. We don't want everything to happen in the plenary hall. We want to have forums where specific issues can be discussed in depth. The fifth point then is Europe's role in the world. So we cannot just engage in navel gazing. We have a responsibility, particularly for our neighbors. If we are honest, we have neglected Africa for decades and in a very shameful way. And Africa is, of course, also hit by the pandemic quite significantly. And this is why we're delighted to have our former federal president, Professor Dr. Horst Köhler, as a speaker, because he's a distinguished expert on Africa, and Africa has always been close to his heart. And last, we'll have a time slot for urgent business. So Guido Wolf and I can't tell you what we will be debating. We'll just reserve a time slot because we need to be able to respond quickly to whatever happens. So we're planning this plenary, which will take place in November or December this year. So we can't really say with certainty what will be extremely urgent business. It could be the second wave of a pandemic. It could also be some of the other burning issues. There's no way we can tell now, and this is why we're just reserving a time slot for whatever needs to be discussed at that point. Then the last point shows that we want to try out new formats. As the more senior members of COSAC knows,
this, or the veteran members know, that COSAC has become a bit rigid, and we really want to have lively discussions, which is why I would like to encourage you to not to forget that you are parliamentarians. Please don't just read out whatever's been written down for you. Talk freely, because otherwise there might be even this suspicion that your talking points might have been scripted by your governments. But we are parliamentarians, so please speak freely. And now I come to the organizational matters. There's one thing I would like to discuss today. We have very limited time, and your contributions can't be longer than 90 seconds. And you'll find that there's a clock that will be turned red at some point. And it would be wonderful if we only had one contribution per member country, because that way, which makes things more easy to organize for us. As I said, and I hear that Mr. Maas is ready, we would like to take a break for that, and we'll then ask you to contribute to on some other organizational matters, and you can contribute to things like the language regime. I know it's a highly sensitive issue. We need to reduce the format of this COSAC conference, and we want it to take place, and we want it to take place in the plenary, and there are a few matters that need to be said about the language regime. But we'll postpone that and get back to that later. Before that, I can see that we have a split screen and that Federal Minister Maas is ready and with us. And this is why I would like to introduce him. I would like to give the floor to Guido Wolf first, because we agreed that he should moderate the conference, which is why I would like to hand over to Guido Wolf. Colleagues, this brings us to the first working session, which is dedicated to the main points on the agenda of the German presidency. And of course, it is largely dominated by the COVID-19 pandemic. Together for Europe's recovery, this is our motto, and we want to make the best of this meeting of the chairpersons of COSAC to find a common European response to the pandemic, and also to bridge the divide on issues such as sustainable climate-friendly transitions in the European economy. We need to discuss how we can make sure that all citizens can live in a secure and stable Europe, and how Europe can play a responsible role at the global level. Of course, we will also deal with Brexit and, of course, the MFF. As you can see, there's a large portfolio of matters that need discussing, and each of them would be important enough to have its own working sessions. I'm delighted that the Federal Minister for Foreign Affairs has agreed to present our main points for the presidency. He's with us from the Foreign Office, and it's a pleasure and an honor to welcome you, Mr. Maas. Before we come to his report, I would like to say a little bit about the debate afterwards. So Günter Kriechbaum and I find that it's important to have a lively and spontaneous discussion, which is why we would like to encourage you to request the floor during the introductory remarks. And then during the debate, I would like to keep it short and restrict yourselves to 90 seconds, if possible, to 2 minutes at the very maximum. We only have limited time in this video conference, and this is why the Troika has agreed to give to give preference to the members, to the contributions by the members of COSAC. If there's time, we would also give the floor to guests. Federal Foreign Minister, thank you very much for addressing us. You have the floor.
Yeah, vielen Dank.
Thank you, Mr. Wolf. It's also a great pleasure to see you again. We know each other from previous functions. So, grüß Gott, hello to Mr. Griechbaum. Last week, I was in the European Affairs Committee of the Bundestag. And this shows the serious interest that we have as a federal government in having a close exchange with the parliamentary bodies. So it's a great pleasure to be able to remain in dialogue with you today by having the opportunity to speak to you today as parliamentarians. Our council presidency is what I'm going to be presenting today. We want to have a lively debate this morning, so I'm going to mention a few issues in my introduction which are particularly important to us and leave you enough time, us enough time for the discussion. It's no surprise to say to you that our council presidency is something that we'd imagine taking place rather differently. Our plans for our presidency were made at a period of time where Corona wasn't really on the agenda. Our trio presidency that we're organizing with our colleagues had already been agreed on before the Corona pandemic took effect, but we've responded very quickly to ensure that in the second half of this year we are able to tackle the consequences of this crisis. We'll be doing that rather intensively, but we don't want to make our presidency a purely Corona presidency. There are so many dossiers within the European Union that needs to be tackled, so we will try in the next 6 months to press ahead with these and ensure that we can at least pave the way for our successors, Portugal and Slovenia, to bring dossiers to a conclusion that maybe we've been talking about for many years already. The first point in our presidency was to solve the financial issues in the EU. There had been many discussions already on the multi-annual financial framework and the recovery funds, the Next Generation EU, which was adopted by our heads of state and governments in July was a very important step in this, and I can only imagine what our citizens would have thought if we hadn't have been able to bring about the instruments to face this crisis in a time of a pandemic, if we hadn't have had a solution to these issues. So the adoption by the decision of the European Council on the 21st of July is a very historic one, because it shows that despite all the criticisms that are voiced against the European Union, that when things get tough, we are able to pull together to make a decision and create the necessary conditions for solidarity among nations and solidarity in emerging from this crisis. At the end of August, we commenced our negotiations with the European Parliament. Of course, these are rather tough. Everyone's already aware of that, but we want to conclude them as quickly as possible so that we have the support provided where it is required, not just for companies, but also employers, employees. They need the support. So this is something that we're working on very intensively at the moment. I'd like to already jump to the second major issue, just sort of fixed in time. By the end of the year, we have to find a solution to the Brexit issue. Our colleagues with in London and the negotiations with these colleagues, renegotiating the relationship between the EU and the UK as of the 1st of January next year. But especially looking at what the developments over the last few weeks, what's been going on in London, these have been extremely worrying for us. And as you all know, the British government has proposed a draft bill, and if this bill enters into force in the foreseen form, this would undermine important parts of the Northern Ireland Protocol and constitute a violation of international law. We've experienced quite a lot of things in our negotiations with London, but what we've experienced this week is a new form of escalation, because we're talking about not just about the substance, but also confidence, reliability, trustworthiness, and credibility. And the negotiations are difficult enough, and these issues don't make things any easier. Last week, we had the eighth round of negotiations in London, looking at central issues, fair competition conditions, but also important issues of governance, last but not least, fisheries. So this is another point that that's very hotly debated. No outcomes here. So a lot has been called into question by the British government this week in these connections. Of course, we want to retain close relations with the UK. We have re-emphasized this repeatedly. We've even re-emphasized this after the bill was proposed in the UK, but the goodwill has to come from both sides. The Commission is leading the negotiations. We, as a Council presidency, and other EU member states, we don't act independently on this. We have confidence in our chief negotiator, Barnier, and as a council presidency, we will be supporting him comprehensively and providing him with the necessary support to ensure that we retain unity among the EU27 in the coming weeks and months. We have to prepare ourselves for scenarios that might include no deal. With the end of the transition period and Britain's exit from the single market, we will need to make some serious adjustments anyway, and this is why we are making contingency plans, planning for both scenarios. But we will continue to support Michel Barnier to ensure that we do reach an agreement. Colleagues, apart from this, there are a number of other issues that I would like to at least point towards, because they are also part of our presidency program. Climate protection, the Green Deal. We're also talking about a green recovery at the moment. These are issues that will be taking a lot of our time, and we will be supporting the Commission presidents in the dossiers here. Digital transformation is also a point that we see as one of our sort of overarching titles, digital sovereignty being the key word, and not just being dependent on the US, China, and Russia. And this is something that we need to, this is an area where, in operational terms, it makes it very clear what sort of relations we have with these countries. We want to be cutting edge in these technologies. And the digital world will be geared towards two poles, I'm sure, in future. One will be the US, one in China. And I think we believe it would be better to have our own approach, because digital technologies aren't just a question of technology. They're also a question of power relations, shaping democratic processes. So it's very important to us that we ensure our digital sovereignty, maintain our digital sovereignty in Europe. Another very important pressing issue, especially given what's happening in Moria and the fire in the refugee camp, is the issue of migration. We know that this is a very difficult issue, and the positions in the member states are very different. We support the Commission. which this week will be making proposals on how we can respond initially to the situation in Moria, but we're also supporting the Commission and we're in dialogue with the Commission with regard to resetting European asylum and migration policy. And we're expecting a proposal from the Commission probably on the 30th of September. So there will be discussions on this issue. And even if time's running out, we will do everything possible to bring this issue forward. It has a lot of divisive potential, but we need to make progress. The Portuguese will be taking over the presidency next year, and we need to pave the way for them to be able to bring about real decisions. Rule of law is also an issue that is on our agenda. We believe that the rule of law principles are the basis for the European Union, right since the very days of its foundations. The rule of law reports of the European Commission will be discussed in Council. This will provide us with a new rule of law preventive mechanism, a peer review system to shore up a common understanding of rule of law principles. And the European Parliament and national parliaments will also be able to take this report, which will be available in September, as the basis for their discussions on rule of law in the European Union. We are also looking beyond the borders of the European Union towards foreign policy. And here we've had a number of highly dynamic developments in various dossiers. We're currently facing issues in Belarus. We've been talking about this in the Foreign Affairs Council. We've adopted a package of sanctions that we hope that those who have been involved in human rights abuses and in election rigging will be able to be put on this list as soon as possible. We're also focusing on the Eastern Mediterranean and Turkey and the situation in Lebanon. And we want to put the EU in a position to be able to drive ahead with foreign policy, because we see that the competition between Russia, the US and China, in this context, we will only be able to assert our values and assert our interests if we act together as a European Union. So this is one of our priorities during the presidency. At the moment, we are focusing in particular on EU-Turkey relations, heavily strained on account of Turkey's actions in the Eastern Mediterranean, also vis-a-vis Greece and Cyprus, EU member states. So we will use all mechanisms available to us as Council Presidency to set the foundations by the European Council on the 24th of September to ensure that the escalation stops and that we instead enter into a dialogue, that we have a diplomatic solution to prevent escalation with Turkey. And prevent any further provocations against Cyprus and Greece, because we believe that what we don't need at the moment is a further escalation. Looking towards China, this is also an issue that's high up on our agenda, in particular with regard to what's going on in Hong Kong and Shenyang. The national parliaments will play a major role in this. Today, a video conference is taking place between State President Xi and the President of the Council, Michel, Commission President von der Leyen, and Federal Chancellor Angela Merkel, representing the presidency. Here, the leaders will take stock of the current substance of EU-China relations. Of course, they will talk about trade and economic relations. But there will be some difficulties in the issues in Hong Kong, human rights issues, and we find it very important that we also make these points clear to the Chinese leadership. Our clear goal is to have a joint EU-China strategy in order to be able to discuss EU-China relations among each other in the next few months and to provide a united front against
issues in Hong Kong, China. Human rights issues.
Our relations to Africa also play an important role. We want a deepened political partnership with Africa, and we're seeking to organize a summit with the African Union in order to define a common strategy for the coming years. Of course, we want to push ahead with the EU expansion process. There has been a long-standing discussion about how we continue with accession for North Macedonia and Albania. The resolutions were agreed upon at the beginning of the year to open accession negotiations. So we will have to talk now about with the member states to discuss how we as a presidency will be organizing the initial accession conferences by the end of the year, because we want to push forward with the developments here so that the following presidencies have a basis upon which they can build. So there are so many issues, ladies and gentlemen, dear colleagues, that I could mention, but I'm going to leave it there. One of the main priorities of our priorities of our presidency I've already listed, and I'm now prepared to take any questions and to commence our discussion.
Colleagues, Mr. Maas, thank you very much for your very helpful introduction. So this leads us to the discussion. You will, when you look at your screen at the top left, you will see the following two speakers. I can only ask you to keep your interventions brief. 90 seconds to a maximum of 2 minutes, please, so that everyone gets the opportunity to speak. First of all, I would like to give the floor to Vice President of the European Parliament, Dita Charanzova. Dita, you have the floor.
Dear Minister, dear President, thank you for the introduction and the detail. Our expectations are high for the President. While you took over less than 100 census with this crisis, we are
not very good. We can't understand you. Is it possible that you can use a headset or a micro directly?
I will ask the technicians. Is it better now?
Not really. Perhaps we can improve it. Or otherwise, my proposal, check the quality of the micro, and then we would take another speaker meanwhile. Perhaps that can be a solution, because we can't understand you.
Is it better?
You should speak, then I can consider if it is, if it became better or not.
So good morning. Thank you for being patient. We are trying to take your answer.
No, don't worry. I would suggest to take the another speaker now, and perhaps here the technicians can check the quality of the line. That would be helpful. But then it's up to Guido Wolf to ask the next speaker to take the floor.
The second speaker, Reinhold Lopatka.
Reinhold, vergiss nicht die Mikrotaste einzuhalten.
Reinhold, please do turn your microphone on.
Reinhard, unfortunately, we're unable to hear you. Okay, that looked good for a moment. Hello? We can hear you. Can you see me too? No, but just speak, that's more important. Okay, I think now it all works. Okay, it's working. Mr. Speaker, colleagues, first of all, I would like to thank Mr. Kriechbaum for his suggestions concerning our cooperation and our work. I think it's a step in the right direction. And I would like to thank the Federal Foreign Minister of Germany for Germany's very clear stance on fundamental issues like the situation in Belarus or in the case of Navalny. And of course, also increasing issues in the Eastern Mediterranean, tensions between Cyprus and Greece and Turkey. Of course, COVID-19 really took precedence over all other issues. So we're doing all we can to prevent another lockdown, prevent mass unemployment. And really reach a solution as soon as possible and get a vaccine as soon as possible. But of course, we have a council program until 2024 and political guidelines of the Commission President. And for us, it remains important to have the conference on the future of Europe. We expect a decision by the Council and the Parliament soon, and we would like this conference to start as soon as possible. For us, it is also important that national parliaments can participate in an appropriate fashion, and in our parliamentary committee, we also made a decision accordingly, to support our government on the one hand and also to really push it to promote national parliaments to play an important role in the Conference on the Future of Europe. So I can only ask you as representatives of your national parliaments to also work in the context of this conference, make decisions, because we are part of the legislative. We are part of the political discussion. And to conclude, I would like to thank Germany for planning in-person, face-to-face meetings as well, because I think that is essential for all our parliamentary work. So I'm looking forward to seeing you in Berlin at the end of November, in early December. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Lopatka. Parliamentary work, and please do not forget that, also means that we stick to our speaking time of 90 seconds. Otherwise, we can't give the floor to everyone. So Dagmar Stoimig is next.
Mr. Minister, the President, hopefully connection is better now. So, Minister, I would like to thank you for this question and the come. Indeed, our expectations are for the German presidency, while you think over the ideal circumstances and this COVID crisis, we are confident that
will arise to the challenges. You have mentioned a number of them, from relaunching the economy, the EU-UK negotiations, trade talks with the US, rebalancing of relations with China, migration and security issues, just to name a few. But let me concentrate on two points, on the EU's economic recovery and on EU's future. So first, I would like to say a few words with respect to the economic recovery. The European Council in July accepted a recovery plan in historical move achieved during the German presidency. Such a first step is positive and should be welcomed by all sides. Clearly, both the Council and the European Parliament want the same thing, a stronger Europe after the crisis. Nonetheless, we are of the opinion that the European Council's political agreement on the next MFF as it stands still needs further changes in order to reach an agreement. Flagship EU programs, for example, on digital transition, health and research are at risk if the programs will not be allocated adequate funds. The Budget Committee of the European Parliament has this month also agreed that a basket of new own resources is necessary to repay the debt created under the recovery plan. In addition, the majority of members of the European Parliament further insist that rebates and other correction mechanisms should be withdrawn. The European Parliament believes the parliaments of the member states should seek to ratify the new own resources decision before the end of this year. So we count on the good work and leadership of the presidency to ensure a smooth ratification process in different member states. For all these reasons, the European Parliament hopes the presidency understands that there is no fait accompli yet. Negotiations are ongoing between our negotiators and the presidency. And the deal is only done when both sides agree and the European Parliament has to still give our consent, which should not be taken for granted. As a second point, I would like to briefly mention the Union's future. Our citizens need to be able to look forward towards the future with hope, not fears, especially now in these particular difficult times. To do this, it's urgent to start working on how the Union will be more effective, resilient, democratic, and closer to the citizens. The European Parliament has adopted already two resolutions this year on the conference on the future of Europe. The Parliament asked in particular that the Council is open to conference-driven reforms, including potential treaty changes. And the Council would engage to start the conference as soon as possible this year. All three institutions have to work together towards a joint declaration to define the concept, the structure, scope, and timing of the conference, and to agree on the objectives. The national parliaments and chambers are key discussion partners in this process and have an important role to play in the conference. Dear Minister, we are keen to know which are the concrete steps that the German presidency envisaged in order to move on with the mandate for the conference. Thank you very much.
Vielen Dank, liebe Dieter.
Thank you very much, Dieter. We could hear you well now. Let us now move on to Dragomir Stoinev. Please stick to your allotted speaking time.
Dragomir, did you switch on your micro? We can't hear you. Please try again. We couldn't hear anything at the moment. Perhaps your staff can check the quality of the line. if you allow, we would take another speaker, and meanwhile you can check the technique.
Okay. Emanuela Rossini.
Emanuela Rossini. Emanuela Rossini, the floor is yours.
So this context, the priority illustrated by the presidencies, I find very relevant and strategic. I consider important the focus on social pillars and youth guarantee, because there can be no growth without social cohesion, and that is a point. Regarding digitalization and green transformations, they are very important for my country, and not only to innovate, but also to modernize our economies and the law, state law, in order to protect them and to make them more competitive. Consider that Italy has advanced by 5 years in its digital trends during the lockdown. So we are on the move. Two very quick points. We feel urgent to complete and finalize the agreements made last July on all final acts, legal acts, so that to allow the national recovery plan to be put in place in a timely manner. And also, our debate is also on the need to make us, Europe, more flexible and in our internal rules. We need to review our regulatory framework in order to be more equipped to face also unpredictable global challenges. So this is my first time I participate, and I'm very honored.
Vielen Dank, Emanuela.
Thank you very much, Emanuela Rossini. I would now like to hand the floor to Gabriela Gretu.
Finally, thank you very much. Are you able to listen to me?
Yeah, Mrs. Kretzu, we can hear you. We don't have a picture at the moment, but we can hear your voice, so please go ahead.
Do you have? Yeah, thank you. Minister, dear colleagues, I had to change something because I listened to myself. Minister, dear colleagues, it is better now? Yeah?
Go ahead. We can hear you. Go ahead.
Yeah. Thank you. For many of us, 21st century will be a century of cooperation, or it will not be at all. After the climate change, the powerful financial system regulation, epidemic has taught us this lesson once again. Unfortunately, at the global scale, Not everybody believes the same. We have two questions for Minister Maas. We are aware that many of post-war arrangements and institutions are not functioning anymore or needs reforms in order to adapt to current challenges. One of them is WTO. For the working class and middle class in our member states, not to say in developing partner countries, the current WTO is deeply associated with neoliberal globalization. Supporting open markets without changing rules, it doesn't sound very charming, so to say, for a large majority, and it is undermining for the Union. My first question is related to Germany's position in this respect of WTO reform. The second question, multilateralism has been fundamental. It will be in the future. We very much welcome the new alliance for multilateralism. Unfortunately, it's not very clear how many sides laterals, multilaterals, suppose it. There is an increasing divide between member states concerning China or Russia inclusion, and there is no clear autonomous position of European Union in this respect. We are asking for German presidency and High Representative to start or continue the process of defining this common position accepted by each and every member state for avoiding the necessary divide. We are afraid of starting wars nobody could win, but everybody could lose. Thank you very much.
Vielen Dank.
Thank you very much, Gabriella. We'll now hear from Gediminas Kirkilas.
Και σε κάμερα που είναι εγώ. Dear fellow chairpersons, distinguished guests, dear colleagues. The COVID-19 pandemic keeps proving the importance of cooperation and coordination within the European Union, not only in the area of health, but all areas of European Union politics. The programs of the trio and of the German presidency clearly demonstrate this comprehensive approach, which is reflected in the motto of the German presidency, Together for Europe's Recovery. But the European Union Affairs Committee of the Slovenian National Assembly were happy to see that this way of work has already resulted in more strategic nature of the declaration by the parliaments of the trio presidency. As you know, the declaration was signed in the end of the June. Compared to previous declaration, this is one of the concrete about the activities and priorities of the parliamentary presidents. I would like to point out here the high-level conference of the migration and asylum, which will take place in November. Also, much hope is placed on the conference on the future of the Europe. Here, the necessity for the direct and active role of national parliaments must remain our goal. Slovenia is taking over the council president in July 2021. Recovery and the resilience of the European Union shall remain high on our agenda. This includes improving capacities of the European Union and its member states to tackle global crises and threats, including pandemic, cyber attacks, and migration pressure, and fostering economic recovery following the pandemic through green transition and digital transformation. The European Union will need to shape in the medium and long term policies to help meet these challenges. In many of these issues, we are continuing to build on the progress achieved by the German and Portuguese presidents. I'm already looking forward to hearing about the successful result of the German presidency at the COSAC conference in the end of November. Ich wünsche zum Deutschland eine erfolgreiche Führung in die Präsidentschaft. Schöne Grüße aus Slowenien.
Vielen Dank. Das war
Thank you very much. That was Marco Pogacnik. Dragomir Stojnev. Dragomir Stojnev. I would like to pass the floor on to you.
It's Gediminas Kirkilas. Bitte schön.
Hello, Mr. Kirbaum. Dear colleagues, we support the attention of German presidency to respond to the COVID-19 pandemic and its consequences. Overcoming the crisis and getting out of it even stronger is infinitely important. However, we cannot remain indifferent as well to other developments that hold crucial importance for the European Union and its values. The European Union has repeatedly stressed its level of ambition and its role as a global actor. Commission President Ursula von der Leyen has expressed her ambition to lead geopolitical commission. Now, the European Union has the opportunity to play the critical role in the immediate neighborhood, namely in Belarus, to support peaceful transition of power and new democratic elections. The European Union credibility is at stake if it fails to play that role. The continued violence and repression against peaceful protesters, opposition leaders, members of coordination council and media is unacceptable and must stop. All detainees should be released immediately, including political prisoners. The only way forward is peaceful transition of power through dialogue with the civil society and new democratic elections. Dear colleagues, I prepare a letter expressing concern over the situation in Belarus and calling for support for democratic change, which will be distributed after this video meeting. I hope that you will be able to support and co-sign it. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We'll now try to reach Dragomir Stojnev.
Wir hören Sie.
We can hear you now. Dragomir, you can start. We've already heard you. You can start.
First of all, I would like to show thanks for today's COSAC meeting. The German presidency is facing a number of challenges. This time, the European Union faces again for more action, as it was faced during the German presidency in 2007, when you brokered a compromise which became the Lisbon Treaty. And today is again a crucial time in the history of the European Union, when all eyes are on the German presidency. German presidency is expected to lead highly sensitive negotiation rounds and reach compromises on the multi-annual financial framework and the recovery fund. It will demand a great deal of attention. Here, I could emphasize that the negotiation process framework outlines a crucial role in the national parliament. The funds provided in the recovery plan will depend on the necessary approval by national parliament of a planned increase in the EU budget on resources that would allow the Commission to borrow on the market to finance the funds. Therefore, I do believe that the approval by all national parliaments should be linked to the opportunity to participate actively in the process of adopting policies in national recovery plan, as well as in monitoring their implementation. Member states wishing to benefit from the recovery plan should consult national parliaments as part of drafting and submitting the recovery and resilience plans. This is the right way the reform should put together my support and ensure export control of the financial support, effectiveness, efficiency, and impact. And finally, I would like to thank you, a special thank you to Mr. Junker Krigbaum, Mr. Krigbaum, Mr. Gittin, concerning their support of my proposal regarding that all these plans possible should be voted in national parliaments before there is looking in the European Union. Thank you once again, and
good luck,
friends.
Danke, Dragomir.
Thank you very much, Dragomir. We'll now hear from Satu Hassin.
And, thanks a lot for Foreign Minister Mans for explaining and reporting on the agenda of the German presidency. The list of very important items is very, very long. I wish success for Germany with all the items on the agenda. I raise only one quick point. I think it's very, very important that climate belongs to the German priorities. I think one of the most important issues for European future is that we are able to combine the recovery, economic recovery from the pandemic and climate protection, so that we use the recovery fund money to invest in climate-friendly solutions to make a European leapfrog on climate protection. The recovery, if the package will be finally adopted, as I hope, will mean huge investments. And it's very important that we invest in the future and not do try to prolong the time of the fossil era. I think it's also very important that the German presidency works for getting the European climate law and strengthening of the 2030 European climate target. Without that, it would be very difficult to make reality from the commitment made during the Finnish presidency last year on European carbon neutrality 2050. The climate measures and climate policy, climate action of European Union is decisive for the whole planet. So let's be ambitious on that. Thank you very much.
Vielen Dank.
Thank you very much. We'll have more contributions, but first we'll hear again from the Federal Minister of Foreign Affairs when he responds to this.
So, thank you, Mr. Wolf. Thank you for the contributions that we've heard so far. So this is really a kaleidoscope of the issues that we're facing. and what we what's moving us within the European Union. Of course, if a session can take place physically in Berlin in November, if this is possible, then I think this will clear up some of the issues that we're having in understanding each other. But this maybe raises the issue of digital Europe, digital sovereignty, expanding what we can do, what our powers are in this area, what our advantages are. One thing that was mentioned was the conference on the future of Europe. This is an issue that we're dealing with quite intensively at the moment. We are working intensively on achieving a joint declaration on the part of the Council, the Parliament, and the Commission as the basis for this conference. The declaration will if the topics are particularly concrete, the social issues, for example, this has been mentioned as well. Of course, industry and environment, these are very important, but I would say that the social issues will play a major role for us. For example, minimum wage, European reinsurance. And I can remember well the financial crisis and what the EU did during the financial crisis, saving the banks. This led to the impression for many citizens that the EU looks after the large corporations. But maybe not for the little people. So with the SURE program that we are getting up and running, that is directly supporting employers and employees, this might do something to restore this proximity between the European Union and the people. So this is the Conference on the Future of Europe, and we hope that we will reach this agreement with the Brussels institutions as quickly as possible. The MFF has also been mentioned, and the own resources decision, which is extraordinarily important for the European Parliament, I know, and this is something that we will be following very closely in the forthcoming negotiations, taking very seriously. The own resource decision will only come about if we can achieve an agreement on the MFF overall with the Parliament, and we are working on this particularly intensively. Multilateralism was also mentioned. Of course, we have to talk about international cooperation, even within the European Union. The reality is that there have been many developments in various regions of the world that really have shown that there's a rollback for the people. National decision-making, national sovereignty seems to be more important to people than international cooperation. People are violating international treaties, leaving international treaties, leaving international organizations. Let's take the WHO, for example, where funding is cut in such a period of time, or countries declare that they are departing from the WHO. it's very clear that that we're in the middle of a pandemic, and this is an international crisis. Globalization, digitization, climate change, migration, these are issues that we can only have international solutions to. And we within the European Union should prove that we have recognized this. And I think this has already been mentioned. If we continue as we did with the recovery fund of July this year, then I'm sure we will be able to give people more hope. There are many worries and concerns linked to Corona, of course, and the pandemic, but there are also more and more conspiracy theories being just because people have a different opinion to the current administration doesn't mean that they shouldn't be able to do what they're doing. So this is why we have put together a list of individuals who we know were included involved in election manipulation, human rights abuses, a list of over 40 individuals, who as a first step will be subject to sanctions. Of course, we're all looking towards Sochi today, where Putin and Lukashenko are meeting. So we'll be taking a look at the developments there and assessing these. And next Monday in Brussels, we'll have our next Foreign Affairs Council. And we'll have to use this context to reach a position. The second issue is Greece, Cyprus, and Turkey. On the 24th of September, the European Council will look at this issue itself. I believe that there is still room for stopping this spiraling, this escalation. If everybody pulls together, I think it will be good to have everybody at one table, because the issues in the Eastern Mediterranean, exclusive economic areas, for example, but also territorial borders and how these can be drawn in the Eastern Mediterranean. This is something that the parties concerned should discuss. But at least on the 24th, we'll have to talk about the consequences. If nothing else, Turkey pushing its borders unilaterally is something that the European Union cannot accept, given that its member states are also Greece and Cyprus. Climate policy, a lot of companies are very heavily hit by the corona pandemic. The decisions that we've taken in Brussels have been taken to try and assist these companies. But it's also an opportunity, restructuring processes that we would need to have tackled anyway. Corona provides us with the opportunity to maybe deal with these more intensively. New tools have been available, for example, for investing in our green recovery. And this is a topic for us. Ursula von der Leyen will be holding a speech on the state of the European Union in the Parliament, and I'm sure that she will be mentioning this as well, and she will be enjoying the full support of the German presidency. So I think that's it on the issues that have been raised. I would like to use this opportunity now to thank everybody for their support. A council presidency is only as strong as the support it receives from the member states. And despite all the differences, the diverging positions that we might have, it's been fantastic to see so much support in the member states. We have to be able to rely on this support, and it would be I'm very much hoping that this support will remain in place throughout the course of the presidency, in particular so that we can wrap up the important dossiers that we have on our agenda, so that we can not only face the corona pandemic itself, but also emerge stronger from the crisis. Thank you very much. Thank you, Federal Minister, for your contribution, and we are looking forward to our further encounters with you in the course of the presidency. I would like to open the floor now to further speakers. Mr. Hrčík, if everybody could please stick to 1 minute. We only have 1 minute each. Richard Hrčík, please, you have the floor.
Thank you, the floor, Mr. Chairman. Dear Günther, I'm really happy to contact you with our conference and the great of all you from Budapest. Congratulations to Madam Kinnis, First Vice President of the European Parliament, nomination to the post of Commissioner. Mr. Chairman, there is no doubt that in July, when Germany took over the Council presidency, the Union was facing the biggest test of its history. The expectation on Berlin to assume a European leadership role during the presidency are really extraordinary. Germany has met these high expectations by presenting an ambitious presidency program. Congratulations, Günther. I welcome that the German presidency intends to lead this challenge in a forward-looking manner together with all member states. I'm convinced that our common principal goal is recovery from the coronavirus crisis in the long term. To this end, we should preserve the common ground, the compromise solution, and the unity between the member states as achieved in July European Council. Besides the current task, we should pay appropriate attention to the future of Europe. For instance, the next Monday, Hungarian Ministry of Justice will organize in Budapest the first conference of a series entitled Dialogue on the Future of Europe. I will address the conference on the topic, the parliamentarian application of the principle of subsidiarity. And finally, Mr. Chairman, I also welcome that we have delegates from the candidate country, Albania, at this conference. This inspires me to repeat my deep conviction to pay more attention to the countries of the Western Balkans. Thank you very much.
Vielen Dank, Joris Backel.
Joris Backel, you have the floor.
Use the disabled. Am I? Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear.
No, I have to.
You can continue. We hear it perfectly well. Continue, please.
Joris?
Okay. I think I have to start again.
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Well, this is confirming my point that I congratulate the hosts that they are with patience hearing all us speaking with the technical uphill fight that we have. Thank you for being hosting this. Thank you for Mr. Maas for being here. I'm speaking on behalf of the Dutch Senate. And I want first to commend the German chairmanship with the results of the July Council. I think it was a big step forward. And I also like to use the opportunity to ask to thank Mrs. Mairead McGuinness and wish her well in her new position. Now, then on the issues that are raised by Mr. Maas, I'd like to home in on the issue of the migration. And he mentioned that he wanted to address it on a more fundamental level as one of his priorities. And I would like to encourage that, really at the level of the Dublin rules and the compact, because I think it is a dividing issue. And that would be a great step forward if we could achieve some more progress on this. Finally, if I still have time, Chairman, but this is more the level of the Commission, I am concerned about the ability of Frontex to face the responsibilities that they have. And could we be informed about the status of the current and reinforcement of Frontex in view of the issues of the Greek Isles? Thank you.
Vielen Dank. Lord Kinnoll.
Thank you very much. And can I add my congratulations to you and Herr Krikbaum and many others for your successful staging of COSAC, such an important piece of the glue that binds European liberal democracies. And thank you also, Herr Maas, for your excellent speech. The presidency has shown immense agility in putting together such an ambitious and vital program, despite the challenging circumstances that we all face. From the House of Lords, may I wish you every success over the coming months. I still hope that a mutually beneficial deal between the EU and the UK can be found by the end of next month, in time for the end of the transition period. And I want to underline that my committee, made up of all parties and persuasions, which has met, remains clear and unanimous in its commitment to the rule of law, including adherence to international agreements. Whatever the final outcome, Brexit has damaged the many ties of history, culture, and family that link us. For our part, we will work hard to rebuild warmth and trust between our nations and our institutions, and including an inter-parliamentary assembly now supported by our government. We share so much in an uncertain world, and we must stand together and not apart. Thank you.
Vielen Dank, Sabine Tilley.
Merci, vous m'entendez? Vous m'entendez?
Wir hören jetzt.
C'est parfait, Sabine, c'est parfait. Continue.
Merci beaucoup à la présidente allemande.
Thank you to the presidency. Thank you to Mr. Maas. We seem to be having acoustic problems, however. Note from the interpreter, the quality is very poor. The speaker is not easy to interpret, I'm afraid. The quality is very poor. Unfortunately, the interpreters cannot interpret due to the poor sound quality.
Au respect de l'état de droit. Et la crise sanitaire ne doit pas être un prétexte pour enlever le sens de tout le monde. Alors, il nous paraît essentiel d'avoir un dialogue équitable avec tout le monde et d'être constructif dans l'application de nos textes. Et comment peut-on faire pour soutenir et identifier en amont comme un risque s'il n'accepte pas de coopérer. Alors, à notre avis, la première solution réellement celle du Parlement européen sur les mécanismes d'état d'accord. Déjà, à l'Assemblée nationale, nous avons demandé une action commune avec les parlements nationaux sur cette question en 2018. ça nous paraît aujourd'hui plus que jamais indispensable. Si nous ne renforçons pas l'état de droit à l'intérieur de nos frontières, ça affaiblira notre crédibilité sur le plan international. Merci.
Dimitris Kairidis.
Dimitris Kairidis, you have the floor.
Yes. Hi, good morning. I hope you can hear me well. I would like to give the honor for the Minister of Germany, Heiko Maas, the opportunity to comment broadly regarding Turkey. It's not just the proposal of treatment of Turkey on Greek and Cypriot sovereign rights and sovereignty in the Eastern Mediterranean, but a matter of wider and broader importance. I'm referring to the erosion of the democratic rule of law inside Turkey. I'm referring to the aggressive, provocative, unheard of rhetoric used by President Erdogan and his ministers against their neighbors, reminiscent of the interwar period, with the constant use of words like Lebensraum against the treaty, the glories of the open space. I'm referring to the building of celebrated Christian monuments into mosques like the Hagia Sophia Basilica in Istanbul. I'm referring to the fact that Mr. Erdogan is congratulating Lukashenko in Belarus for his re-election, actively participates in support of the Maduro dictatorship in Venezuela, welcomes jihadists and Islamist terrorists in Istanbul, wants to take Turkey out of the Istanbul Convention for the Protection of Human's Rights, and so on and so forth, and obviously about Turkey's continued violation of the UN-imposed embargo in Libya, continuous involvement in Syria against Kurds, and support of various radical elements, of course, in Iraq and elsewhere, and its opposition to the rapprochement of the Arabs with Israel. So I would like to hear from Mr. Maas and thank him for his presence here this morning, a broader comment about Turkey, who, after all, wants to become a member of the European Union, and it is an ongoing negotiation, about the broader issue of where is Turkey today, and what we should do about Turkey's open fronts in all sorts of areas against what we in Europe want to do and we do in Europe represent. Thank you very much.
Vielen Dank. Und bevor die Rednerliste.
So, thank you. And before we close the list, I'd like to hand over to Borjan Kirkic.
Boy, I'm sorry, we can't hear you. Once again, perhaps you can check the micro. No. We can't hear you, unfortunately.
Yeah, lieber Borjan Kirkic, wir.
Borjan Kirkic, we are going to ask you to take the floor in the next session. But now we've closed the discussion for this session. We will. We assure you that any contributions that weren't able to be made will be collected by us afterwards, and we can forward these questions to the foreign minister. Before we move our Interpreters need a break, as do we all, so we are going to take a short break of 10 minutes and we are going to continue at 12 p.m. So please be back at 12 p.m.
This is the English language channel. 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 Thank you.
Bitte kurzes Signal geben, wenn wir auf Sendung sind.
Liebe Kolleginnen und Kollegen, wir können fortfahren in unserer Sitzung. Und bevor ich den Beitrag von Hans Timmermans aufrufe.
Pardon. So, wir können fortfahren, liebe Kolleginnen und
Kollegen. Excuse me, my microphone was still off. So, we can continue. And I just have a few housekeeping remarks. Please stick to your allotted speaking time of 90 seconds, and I'm going to give you a short acoustic signal once the time is up. It's not personal, but it is in all our interest, because we want to be able to hear from everyone. A general remark on interventions. Of course, we are very pleased that so many countries, candidate countries and observer countries are present today, but that does not necessarily mean that you have a right to speak. Of course, you can request to speak, but we will only be able to hear from you if we still have time. And if not, then the observing countries will have a pure observer role. And please remember that we will only have one speaker per member state, because otherwise we won't be able to stick to the time. And just one last remark. For technical reasons, please do use your headset, because that greatly increases the quality of transmission. So please, if you do have a headset, please use it so that we can hear you properly. Let me now move on to the next point of the agenda. I can see Franz Timmermans on the screen. So Franz, I can see that your beard keeps growing. It's lovely to see you. I think I can be a bit informal here, because we've known each other for years and years. We're so happy to have you. So, the floor is yours, Vice President Mr. Timmermans. And you can request the floor if you have a request to speak. Thank you very much, Günther, for the introductory remarks, and thank you very much for having me. I will switch to English now, so that as many people as possible can listen to me directly.
For me to talk to you for many reasons. First of all, because the role of parliaments in this stage of what we need to do in the recovery phase is crucial. Because if we want the decisions of the European Council to be translated in concrete measures, we need ratifications in all national parliaments, and we need national programmes to be established as quickly as possible by the 15th of October, so that we can actually start as soon as possible with the plans. Now, even before the pandemic, for the European Commission, it was clear that the future would be based on a different growth strategy. And that's why we developed the European Green Deal, because we thought that in this combination of challenges, the climate crisis being an existential challenge, but we also have a biodiversity crisis, which is very serious. And we're in the middle of an industrial revolution. And we're in the middle of quickly changing international relations, as Minister Maas has elaborated earlier. The combination of all these things means that we need to restructure the way our societies and economies are organized. Now, before the pandemic, we still had a bit of a choice, because quite a number of people in the public sector and the private sector thought, OK, we need to make this change and we need to make it now. But quite a number of people also thought, well, things aren't going that badly right now. So we could sit on the fence, see if this green recovery, this green idea takes off, and then take decisions in terms of our restructuring and investment a bit later on. The pandemic has changed that completely. The pandemic has changed that completely. The one big difference for the Green Deal after the pandemic is that you now no longer have a choice. You cannot wait. We have a unique opportunity now by mobilizing this amount of finances to invest in recovery, to make sure we do the right investments, to make sure we invest in the economy of the future and not in the economy of the past. That is why your role is now critical, because if we repeat the mistakes of the previous crisis and we start throwing money at sectors of our economy that are struggling but have no future, then I think we would do a huge disservice to our society, and especially a huge disservice to future generations, because we would load extra debt on their shoulders, and at the same time, we would not deliver on a resilient and future-proof economy and society. So that's why we believe, more than ever before, the Green Deal is our growth strategy. And the recovery we have to start now will have to be based on the necessity to ascertain that the investments we do actually deliver a resilient, a future-proof economy with new jobs, better jobs, but also that we do this in a way that we leave no one behind. Because I think that's one of the biggest bottlenecks in this transition, like in any transition, that it has effects on society that would put too many people in a vulnerable position. Now, because of this combination of challenges, pandemic, climate crisis, the biodiversity crisis, the industrial revolution, the geopolitical changes, whether we act or don't act, our societies will change. It is not a choice between leaving things as they are and changing things. It is a choice between being masters of the transition or having the transition put upon us by others. It is a choice between reinventing, redistribution within and between societies so that we create a just society, that we create a fair society, that we create society where nobody feels left behind, or just letting it happen. And then we know, like in previous industrial revolutions, a small group of people will be the big winners of this, and a large group of people will lose out. So we need to prevent all these things, and we need to do this now. I don't think we'll get another opportunity anytime soon to mobilize this amount of funds for restructuring and recovery. So we better do it right. We better do it right now, this year, next year, and the years to come. Because we will not be forgiven by our children and grandchildren if we, to put it very bluntly, screw this up. So we better get it right. And for that, we absolutely need your commitment and your help. And you can count on the European Commission to be in a dialogue with you and the national governments to make sure that we help steer the recovery in the European Union all into the same direction. Because I honestly believe that if Europe takes a lead in this, if we can show that we are able to create a climate neutrality society by the middle of the century, by 2050, other parts of the world will absolutely follow, because the consequences of the climate crisis are being felt everywhere, and everybody will need to adapt to that to create more resilience and to create more future-proof parts of our economy. In Europe, we're in the lead, and it's up to us whether we will continue this lead or whether we will just drop the ball and let others take over without us then having the chance to shape our own futures. That is what I believe is at stake. And now I'm really looking forward to your questions, and I'll answer them to the best of my abilities. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Frans Timmermans. Thank you for this short introduction and a very good overview. I would suggest now to give the floor to Dita Kharantsova for the European Parliament. And 1:30 is the time.
Thank you very much, dear Commission Executive Vice President. Thank you for your introduction and for addressing us today. We have acknowledged that the European Commission was confronted right at the beginning of its term with one of the most dramatic crises in the history of the European Union. The task of the Commission was a very difficult one under these circumstances. But I'm sure we have all now learned and recognized that cooperation and solidarity is the only way forward for a stronger union and a successful recovery.
President von der Leyen has set up priority of this commission to tackle a twin transition, and you have already mentioned it, the green and digital transformation in a changing world. The Parliament believes that the COVID-19 crisis has made these goals even more important. The crisis also taught us that transformation can happen with speed. For example, as a result of the COVID crisis, almost every EU citizen experienced a fast-forward digitalization. Schools switched to full e-learning, we are online together, doctors telediagnosed, grocery shops shifted to online, etc. So it's crucial to support these EU priorities with the adequate also financing, as I have already mentioned. I agree that there are lessons to be learned from the crisis, but this cannot happen without involving the citizens in a bottom-up approach. In the post-COVID crisis time, the conference on the future of Europe can play a very essential role in enabling this citizen involvement. There are many fields and ways to consider. For example, very common actions in the case of cross-border health threats and new ways to ensure that in the future the Union can act without delay in case of crisis. So to conclude, I would like to stress that it's now time for an in-depth reflection on how to become more effective and democratic as a Union. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. And once again, please respect the time. Bojan Kekic for the National Council of Slovenia, please.
I hope that you can hear me. Can we? Okay, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for the floor, Mr. President. The German presidency is coming at the time that is very important for the further development of the EU. We will soon face these challenges to a greater extent in Slovenia as well, as we will hold the presidency in the second half of the next year. Over the last decade, we have faced a major financial crisis, global security challenges, and now a global pandemic situation. How prepared we are for these challenges can be judged by everyone. After a while, we responded to all these challenges and also started to tackle them. It is very important that we learn something from these situations and prepare even better for everything that awaits us in the future. In this sense, I also see the priorities that Germany has set for its presidency. Certainly, the priorities can be divided into two parts, namely the consolidation of the internal situation in terms of even better integration and cooperation, as well as more unified approach to the common foreign security and defense policy while maintaining a leading role in achieving sustainable development goals. Enlargement to the West Balkans also contributes to the stabilization of the whole region as it is a geographical area, this is history part of the Europe. The thing I missed the most is certainly the faster response to key challenges and crises, as well as the lack of the relevant strategic assessment and forecast, which with the support of all our resources should be more accurately predicted and prepared in time. In conclusion, I wish my colleagues from Germany a lot of success during presidency. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Konstantinos. And the next speaker will be Felicia Gaudiano from the Senate of Italy. Please. Konstantinos, sorry, I was a little bit too much progressing. Konstantinos Estafio from the House of Representatives of the Cyprus Parliament. Cyprus, please. Konstantinos, can you hear me? We don't have a connection at the moment, so I would suggest to go ahead with Felicia. Felicia, can you hear me?
Good morning. Hello. Can you hear me? Can you hear the interpreter?
Okay.
Good afternoon. I'm very happy to... Can you hear the interpretation? Can you hear the English? Hello, everyone. I'm very honored to be able to represent my country this morning here and to take part in this very important meeting. Mr. Chairperson, Mr. Commissioner, the pandemic has revolutionized our way of life and the way in which we work. And surely we use digital means quite a lot more in order to interact. And this is happening both in private and in the public sphere. Today's video conference is an example of that.
I don't want to interrupt
rather than being all in Berlin, we are all here speaking to one another remotely from our respective capital cities. We all agree on the need to use the digital tools, smart working, to which many workers have been forced, and also we parliamentarians have been forced to smart work. And surely this is an alternative way to work that will further develop in the next few years. But it has very high costs for the communities. Many trades, many enterprises have gone bankrupt because they couldn't go online. And this happened in the sector of transport, catering, clothing, and the tourist industry as well was deeply affected by the pandemic. And other sectors too, connected to the use of new technologies, have seen very high increases in their revenues. Now, we need to balance the need, on the one hand, to ensure maximum security of maximum safety of people through smart working, and the need to ensure employment in the strategic sectors of our countries, and that provide jobs to many young people. Even the head of the European Agency for Medicines has recently said that a vaccine will not be ready before the year 2021. And so we have to deal with this terrible pandemic for quite a long time to come. And I believe this is the reason why we need to reflect at European level also on the costs, both economic and personal, of these new ways of working, which have a negative impact on many sectors which are vital for our economies. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Felicia. And now I would suggest one more time, once again, if Cyprus can hear me, Konstantinos, then please take the floor. We make another round. This is not successful. Perhaps you can check also that technique. Then I would like to... Yeah, I know that they will try it, but without success at the moment. Then I want to give the floor to Domagoj Hajduković to save a little bit the time. And meanwhile, we can check the technique in Cyprus. Domagoj, please take the floor. Unfortunately, we can't hear anything and we can't see anything. So, Domagoj, can you hear us? Domagoj, can you hear us? So, neither from Croatia nor from Cyprus we have a signal, unfortunately. So then we will do it. Yeah?
I don't know. Okay, now you hear.
Yes, please take the micro. Please take the mic. Use the micro directly.
Yes, okay. Thank you very much for your patience. I think that pandemic has proved that the model we have built our economies and the societies all these years, that is the mondialization, needs to change. This is a typical case of doubt on the model we built our societies the last 20 years. This is the most crucial theme, and I think that the national representatives, national delegations, the parliaments must work on that. Since I didn't have the chance to address you in the last section, the only thing I could say and to add to my intervention is that we have a European Union to be and to know and understand and realize that the European way of life and principles are not something abstract, but has to be concrete. That is why we have to be rigid towards anyone who infringes our principles. And I'm addressing you regarding the Belarusian and, of course, Turkey with its aggression towards Cyprus and Greece. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Konstantinos. And once again, now we try Croatia. Domagoj, can you hear us?
Thank you. Thank you. Not really, yeah. Mr.
We make another try. Domagoj.
Oh, okay. Oh, no, it's wrong.
Then I would like to give the floor to Annika Karlsson, please.
Can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Yes, good. That's the most important. Hi, everybody. During spring this year, the European Union began to face a crisis unlike anything I've seen in modern time, as the COVID-19 pandemic spread across each of the 27 member states. The pandemic much suffering across the Union, and the economic consequences will take many years to deal with fully. If we are to recover economically and create a stronger and more resilient Europe, we need an open internal market with few restrictions at the borders. We all benefit from trade, commerce, and exchanges between the member states. It is Sweden's strong desire that we return to this state as soon as possible and open our internal borders. That would be an important declaration of solidarity and help all recover and build for the future. I think that is one of the most important to come back to. I stay there. Thank you.
Now I can't hear anything more, but we got your message. We got your message, Annika. Well, once again, we try Croatia. Domagoj.
Danke, Gunther.
So please, Domagoj, please go ahead.
Danke. Das ist meine erste Treffen von COSAC.
So this is my first COSAC meeting as head of the Commission. I'm looking forward to our cooperation.
To save time and more people can understand. Hopefully we have to develop more stable connections and more stable internet in the Union for the purposes of our future meetings. But what I wish to impress upon my colleagues is the importance of keeping Europe open. I know that many countries, but it is vital and crucial.
Domagoj, unfortunately, the line is interrupted.
For economical the importance of tourism. The best common way in which to
Domagoj, unfortunately, we can't hear you any longer. So we make another try, and then you can continue afterwards, my suggestion. Because we can't hear you any longer. But your staff, I understand him very well. I can hear him. I don't understand Croatian language. Okay. Then I want to give the floor to Richard Hörcsik from Hungary.
Thank you, the floor, Mr. Chairman, dear Mr. Commissioner. Since the outbreak of the pandemic, I believe that the most important task has been to save lives and to protect those most at risk, particularly the elderly and the ill people. In September, the school and the academic year has started normally in Hungary, and a great majority of people can accommodate themselves with the necessary protective devices. Social discipline is crucial. Mr. Chairman, regarding the economic recession caused by the pandemic, the Hungarian government and the National Assembly adopted rapid and really effective measures, including tax concessions and general moratorium and loan payments to protect jobs. However, in the past 6 months, I have to say, Hungary has again faced a sort of coordinated political attacks, but the misleading information about the protective measures once again proved to be wrong. Despite the harsh criticism, I can say, Mr. Chairman, that the Hungarian response to the virus has been considered successful. Before closing, Mr. Chairman, let me refer to the recent border control issue. Since September, the border rules applied during the first wave of the epidemic have been reintroduced. Thereby, foreign nationals are not allowed to enter Hungary, with the exception of transit, diplomatic and business trips. Consequently, Mr. Chairman, the Hungarian measures do not block, but guarantee the possibility smooth operation of economy. Thank you very much for your attention.
Richard, thank you very much. Then I want to give the floor once again, we try Domagoj, if it works now. Otherwise, we have to continue. Domagoj, can you hear me? Now I see you have a headset. So we understood, Domagoj, we understood the very beginning of your speech, but perhaps you can continue where you stopped. We can't hear you. We can't hear you, unfortunately. But by the way, also warm regards to Domagoj Milosevic. Well, then we have to go ahead, unfortunately, Domagoj. I hope for your understanding. And the next speaker will be Emanuela Rossini. Has stopped your...
Thank you, Günther Griezmann. I'm trying to reply to the question, what lesson learned? In my country, even the most skeptic from this pandemic have understood that we need a more coordinated action by each member on a European level. And this is a great achievement that we reach through suffering and social and economic disruption. So we need to keep it and go on. We need a really joint effort to respond to health crisis, as I heard, all together. But also, we also need to understand, and this is part of our debate, that we can't risk of losing this chance for each country to make the national recovery fund in really effective. And in many key sectors, we need to address them in a European coordinated action. I think of, innovation, technology, energy, transport, infrastructure, and the transition to a sustainable production. The last point I'd like to question also, what you think about to add and integrate with the new own resources, the EU budget. I think they could be, we think could be very important, not only to reduce the pressure on national contributions, but also to increase that trust and confidence in reaching the strategic targets in long perspective. So we need to consider this to build trust now that we, in a way, are more united through this pandemic and to be more united in a joint strategic vision to use these funds and to coordinate our reforms. And we are looking forward for the conference for the future of Europe. So we really hope we manage to meet on that occasion as well.
Thank you very much, Emanuela. Frankreich. Maintenant, je vais donner la parole à Jean Bizet, président de la Commission.
No, I don't have a mic, I'm afraid, but I hope it's working. I hope the line is working. First of all, I would like to welcome you and also Mr. Timmermans and also my friends Gunther and Guido. Unfortunately, we can't hear it. I am delighted about the measures that the European Union has taken with regard and in response to the COVID-19 pandemic. Unfortunately, the line is very bad now. I think that these measures are extremely important for the survival of the European Union. We can't interpret.
En tout cas, je vais finir
stratégique, alors même que l'on met en place des plans ambitieux pour les sauvegarder. En outre, ce nouveau système crée des distorsions de concurrence interne à l'Union à un moment particulièrement malvenu. Je souhaiterais que l'on puisse regarder cela avec beaucoup de sérieux. Je vous remercie.
Unfortunately, we weren't really able to understand you, but I hope that we got the gist. Before we close the speakers list, we'll hear from Ms. Hajdani from Albania. Hello?
Okay, great. Dear Chairman, dear colleagues, thank you for giving me this opportunity to speak today. I would like to start by thanking everyone for the issue of the Western Balkans in this conference. I know that the future of Europe is not complete without the Western Balkans. So, Albania is awaiting its first intergovernmental conference for the opening of the negotiation talks. And I would like to inform the members of the European Union that justice reform in Albania, although it has been slow, I have to say that it has given concrete results. Just recently, we have also produced results when it comes to two new institutions that are dealing with two main issues: corruption and the combating of trafficking, which is SPAC. SPAC is a new body that deals with of prosecutors that deals with crime and corruption in the high level. Also, the other organization is the National Bureau of Investigation, which will deal closely with the investigation of these cases. So we have to say that this reform has been progressing and have received results now. As far as election reform, which was another priority for Albania, we have to say that it has been approved in Parliament recently in the end of our last session. And now it has turned into a technical issue that will be addressed very soon before the elections, which will take place in April 25th, 2021. So with the election reform and justice reform as our two priorities, we are happy to inform all the members of the European Union that we have been making progress needed for Albania. We hope that this progress will reflect in your opinion for the skeptical countries, but we really do believe that the Albania with Macedonia has to go together, work together in parallel fashion, and we are waiting in the coming months to convene our first international government conference. Thank you very much for your attention. Hope I was clear. Hoping that everyone is safe and healthy.
Kulina, thank you very much. And now, as I said, the list. Yes, no, this was late, a late request, but sure that I want to give the floor finally, and then it's definitely closed. Danuta Jadlowiecka and from the Senate, please take the floor. And then the speaker list is closed, definitely. Danuta.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for organizing this meeting, and thank you, Mr. Timmermans, for your speech. Green Deal is a very ambitious program. If we can successfully manage this very important program, we have to have a very good diagnosis about our strengths and weaknesses. So I have a question to you, Mr. Timmermans. What kind of problems among European countries do you face as a leader of Green Deal? And what do you think, can we manage without so difficulties because of pandemia? Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. And then it's up to you, Franz. Can you hear us?
Yes, I can. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Unfortunately, I can't see you at the moment, but but we can hear you. Yeah, I'll see you also. So please go ahead, Franz.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Let me focus on a number of things that were asked of me. First of all, let me focus very briefly also on the Western Balkans, because I think it's of extreme importance. Look, there is no long-term stability and prosperity in our continent without the integration of the countries in the Western Balkans into Euro-Atlantic structures. That I think is a foregone conclusion. And I also know it's going to be a long and tough road to get there, but we need to get there. Now, in the framework of recovery in the Green Deal, my suggestion to the candidate countries in that region is to stay as closely as possible aligned with the European Green Deal and take the measures that lead into the same direction of creating the possibility of being climate neutral by 2050. Because the European Union will start moving in that direction quickly. The more you stay behind, the more difficult it's going to be to integrate. And by the way, by taking the right measures, you also help the European Union achieve its goals, because you know, if you look at emissions, they affect, because we are in a close neighborhood, they affect everyone. So my suggestion would be to work as closely together as possible with the countries in the Western Balkans, for instance, on the energy union, for instance, on modernizing energy generation, for instance, on getting out of coal. These things, I think, would help enormously also to create a positive dynamic for the integration of those countries into the European Union. My second point is, I think, a very, very good question from the representative from Poland. She asked very pointedly, what are the challenges you run into when talking about these issues? Well, first of all, and this also goes back to the question President Bizet put to me, we need to make sure we create a level playing field across the European Union. Why am I saying this so clearly? Because not every member state is in the same position. And some member states have a much, much deeper pockets, if you understand what I mean, in terms of what they can mobilize for their economy than other member states. And a recovery that is unequal between member states is a challenge to the internal market, to put it mildly. So that is why the conclusions and the decisions of the European Council are of such historic importance, because they give us the possibility, because of a clear expression of pan-European solidarity, to create the right level playing field so that recovery is equal across the European Union and we don't harm the internal market in going through this, and that we do set our economy and our society on the track of a green recovery, a digital recovery, and a recovery that increases our European resilience, which is something we really need to do in the international perspective. Now, the other challenges we have is that, of course, the position between member states in terms of, for instance, the energy mix is different across the European Union. And some member states face much bigger challenges in terms of, for instance, stopping the production and use of coal, in, for instance, moving towards a more sustainable energy generation. And some regions, because I myself come from a coal mining, former coal mining region, and I've seen, and the last coal mines in my region were closed 50 years ago. And still my region, which at the time was certainly my hometown, one of the richest cities in the Netherlands, my region consistently, if you look at the five poorest cities in the Netherlands over the last 20 years, three of those five cities are in my region, because the transition away from coal was not entirely successful, to put it very mildly. So we have a very, very big challenge. We've learned from that, and we apply those lessons in the regions that now need to come out of coal and seek other opportunities. That is why the Just Transition Fund is of such huge importance to help member states make that transition successfully. There is a huge opportunity for this. Why? Because
let me take Poland as an example. Yes, Silesia, for instance, is a huge challenge, but also an incredible opportunity. The take-up of sustainable energy in Poland is remarkable, both in terms of offshore wind possibilities in the Baltic Sea, but also solar energy. Poland has a very engineer-intensive educational system with world-class engineers coming out that will play a huge role in the economy of the future. We have, because of the demographic development, a huge need of a skilled labor force across the European Union. The only problem we would have with unemployment is if people don't have the right skills to fill the jobs that will be. It's not a lack of jobs in the future that will be our Achilles heel. It's a lack of capacities to fill the job, of training, etc. So these, I think, are a number of the challenges we will face. And let me be extremely clear. This transition can be done, but it will not be done if we leave people behind, because then people will resist it. This transition will happen if we leave no one behind and we create opportunity for everyone. But the first start, let me repeat what I said in my introduction, because it is from Commission's perspective so important. The first start will have to be national parliaments ratifying the decisions of the European Council on Next Generation EU and the Multiannual Financial Framework, so that we can go full steam ahead to make the recovery happen. We have no time to waste. We have a very anxious population across the European Union looking at their leaders, looking at their parliaments to make sure we recover from this huge challenge, which is the pandemic. We have the opportunity. Let's take the opportunity and make it happen. Thank you very, very much for your time.
Franz, thank you very much for your time that you took this morning. And we would appreciate if we can stay in contact, if we can stay in touch, because these issues are very, very important, also not only for the future of Europe, but also there we have the people behind us. And I think they expect that Europe will give them the solutions which are needed there. And so thank you very much and good luck for you. And let's stay in touch, perhaps also once again for a framework and a video conference that could be helpful. So good luck, Franz, and good afternoon also. So now I want to give back the floor to Guido Wolf, because then we are almost ready, because I will have one or two final remarks, because we were interrupted when Heiko Maas took the floor, and I have only one two remarks to the COSAC plenary conference afterwards, but now it's up to Guido.
Ja, vielen Dank.
Thank you very much, Gunther. Colleagues, we are fast approaching the end of today's meeting in a rather unusual format. We did have some technological difficulties today, but what's important is that we keep up the discussion, that we keep reflecting on the future of Europe together, and that even in these difficult times of a pandemic, we really work together and show European solidarity. So thank you for participating today. The discussions have shown that there's a reason for optimism, for confidence. And right now, Europe, during this time of the German Council presidency, Europe is on a good path, but is also facing enormous challenges that need to be overcome. In Germany, we like to say everything will be okay in the end, and if it's not okay, then it's not the end. So maybe this could be the motto of our European action at the moment. Right now, at present, we should really try to speak with one united voice, because this is the only way to really present effective solutions for the great challenges of today. Europe is at an important crossroads right now, an important crossroads for our future. And we are right in the midst of a crisis that we couldn't even have imagined before. But crises also always mean a pressure that forces us to change. And we know that Europe is well trained in dealing with crises. And despite of all hardships and all of all restrictions that the coronavirus crisis has meant for us right now, it is the time to set ourselves on track for the future and to really face the transformation processes of this era and really become proactive here. So let us use this opportunity to face this challenge and let us work together on a strong Europe marked by solidarity and that is fit for the future, because this is our responsibility. We have to be able to have European capability to act, European capability to solve problems and to prove that we have it, because this is what we need for people to accept and support Europe and believe in a European future. Before I hand over to my colleague Gunter Kriechbaum again, I would like to thank you all for being here today. As the president, at the chairman of the Committee for European Union Questions of the Federal Council, it was a pleasure to be your host today together with Dr. Kriechbaum. This is not an opportunity that you get every day. So it really means a lot to me. And I have a lot of appreciation for all of you who are carrying responsibility for Europe in your countries. We already said it in the Troika context in June. For us, the German Council presidency is an ongoing project. And if we've learned one thing from the coronavirus pandemic, then it is that we can always have a spontaneous digital exchange on current topics. And that is what we need in Europe. We need greater spontaneity. We need to be able to swiftly respond to problems. So I am pleased that in a few days we will have the opportunity to talk to Michel Barnier about the state of the negotiations of between the UK and the EU. And I am also pleased that within the Troika, within the trio, we are going to keep up these formats beyond the German presidency so we can actually get together more often. But at the same time, and I think Gunter and I both agree, I hope that we will soon have the opportunity to get together in person again, because video conferences make communication possible, but they can never really replace meeting in person, looking each other in the eye, shaking hands with our friends from Europe and really getting a vivid impression of the European member states, their people and their culture. Thank you very much for being here, and I look forward to our next discussions. Thank you very much. Thank you, Guido, colleagues and friends. This is something very fitting that Guido Wolf said. We've seen today that physical meetings cannot be replaced. So we are doing whatever we can to make that possible in December. But for several reasons, we will have to choose a format that is similar to that of the COSAC chair conference. 300 people, that would just be too many because we have distance regulations. that we implement in our parliament. We can only use a reduced number of chairs in our plenary hall in the parliament. So we would suggest that we would use this format that we have at the moment of chairpersons of COSAC. Of course, you can then have a dial-in, a digital dial-in. And of course, not all delegations will be able or will want to travel. That also, of course, depends on the situation in November or December. But if you are planning to come physically today, then please let us know as soon as possible. So we do want to have a meeting in person if possible. So what about the language regime? Of course, within the German parliament, everything will be interpreted into English, French, and German. For technical reasons, however, this is not possible for what we send out digitally. So if we use WebEx, for example, then we will only have one voice channel, one language channel. And that means that we will have to limit ourselves to one language. And in spite of the withdrawal of the UK, the language that is most spoken in the EU is English, and we would resort to using English. This is not what we would, what we really want to do, but I'm afraid we would be forced to do that. Of course, we are trying to find a technical solution to this issue, and I'll keep you posted. Guido Wolf mentioned that as we can't meet in person, we would like to keep up these digital formats and meet digitally as often as possible. So on the 17th of September, we will come together from 11 to 12:30 p.m. This video conference with Michel Barnier. Please let us know by the 15th of September whether you wish to participate. And of course, in the UK will not participate. Then on Thursday, the 1st of October, we will have a video meeting with Ms. Vestager, Vice President of the Commission. I met her last week. Chair Hansen was also in Berlin with the delegation. And we are looking forward to that conference. We would also like to have a conference with Didier Reinders on rule of law, a video conference. Rule of law has always been the key issue that Frans Timmermans works on, so we would like to have a conference on that at the end of October, and then on the 29th of November and 1st of December, we are hoping to have the COSAC plenary meeting in Berlin. So it's 1 minute to 1 p.m. So excellent timing. Thank you very much for participating. Thank you for bearing with us when we did have the odd technical difficulty. But this just shows something that Heiko Maas mentioned. The digital transformation is the key challenge for Europe. We have to do much more. And I believe that conferences like this one prove it. So they show that we have to do more to be fit for the future. So to conclude, please stay safe. You know that you have an open invitation to come to Berlin. If you want to come, let me know, let us know, let Guido Wolf know. You are always welcome here. All the best. See you. This concludes our meeting.
Was vergessen?